Shema Yisrael.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, Sweet Singer, written by Joseph Mindel, is presented in celebration of the Columbia University Bicentennial.
Stone endures. In New York, the synagogue on Mill Street has moved northward with the city. King's College on Park Row has moved three times since then and is now Columbia University. But the old cemetery is still in Chatham Square, hemmed in and shadowed by the tenements, and the stones that have marked the graves for nearly 300 years, the stones endure.
Here lies buried the learned sage and distinguished rabbi Gershom Mendes Satius, who was the faithful cantor, sweet singer of our congregation for over 50 years. In the year 1816, he departed this life and returned to his inheritance. The man whom the Lord chooseth, holy is he.
This is the story of Gershom Satius, faithful and sweet singer, and of the inheritance, his and ours. In the year 1768, Gershom Satius came to the Parnas, the president of the congregation Sherit Israel in New York.
Well, Mr. Satius, I'm listening.
Well, you know why I'm here. You have my letter of application.
Of course. And what makes you think you can fill the office of Chazan of the congregation?
Well,
you see, the Chazan leads the congregation in the services, and if he makes mistakes...
Oh, I'll do my best not to make mistakes.
Oh, I'm sure of it, Mr. Satius. Still, it takes training, experience. Suppose you tell me about yourself.
What? But, sir, you live three doors from my father's house. You've known me since I was a child. You know all about me.
Please, Mr. Satius. That is neither here nor there. In these matters, it is proper to observe the formalities.
Oh. Well, as you wish, sir.
Thank you. Now, as to your qualifications for the office of Chazan...
Well, I have attended synagogue service as long as I can remember.
Naturally.
Besides, I learned the order of the services and the manner of conducting them from the previous Chazan, Mr. Pinto.
A fine man. It's too bad he had to return to Europe.
And people say that I have a, well, not unpleasant voice for singing.
As to that, the congregation will judge when you leave the first service. On a trial basis, you understand.
Well, then you will recommend me to the trustees of the congregation.
Tell me, Mr. Satius, how old are you?
23.
Only 23. Well, Mr. Satius, I may tell you that I am minded to make a favorable report.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Only, Gershom, you are a little young to be a Chazan.
Am I? Perhaps the defect will be remedied in time.
Gershom Satius became the cantor of the congregation, and time began to remedy the defect of youth. The years went quickly, filled with the private happenings and the public conflicts of the generation. In the early months of 1776, he led his congregation in solemn prayer. These are the words of the psalm. O God of retribution, Lord, O God of retribution, shine forth. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render to the proud their desert. Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked triumph? They prate, they speak arrogantly. All the workers of iniquity are boastful. They crush thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. And then Gershom Satius spoke a prayer for the people.
May God put it in the heart of our sovereign lord, George III, to turn away his fierce wrath from our North America and let there be no more bloodshed, but an everlasting peace. Amen.
When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume...
I read to you from Leviticus, from the 25th chapter. Proclaim liberty throughout the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Please don't go yet. Haman Levy has had news today. Tell them, Haman.
A messenger came just before the services. General Washington's army is in retreat from Long Island.
This is not another rumor.
I do not repeat rumors, Abraham.
Then the British will take New York. Well, still, it's not unexpected. Well, there's nothing more to say.
Yes, there is, Abraham. We must decide what to do.
Well, there's nothing we can do.
When Washington's army leaves New York, we can leave with them.
Leave the synagogue?
We'll close it and pray that someday we will return.
Well, our homes. Maybe the British will leave us in peace.
Oh, it is likely that they will. They're not savages.
Then let us stay and wait here.
Abraham, will you take an oath of allegiance to George III?
Oh, Gershom, I...
Or will you be still and hide your beliefs?
It is not the first time. Our ancestors were still and hid from the Inquisition in Spain and Portugal.
We had no choice.
In the face of persecutors, we've often been forced to hide. It's our heritage.
No. No, Moses is our heritage. Judah Maccabee is our ancestor, and our tradition is freedom. Today we can choose, Abraham.
Gershom is right. We must leave New York.
Maybe it's easy for you, Haman Levy.
I don't ask Abraham Abrahams to do what I won't do.
We have our families to think of.
Abraham, Gershom's firstborn son is 3 weeks old.
The whole congregation has a right to be heard.
Of course, Abraham, of course.
Now listen. Listen to me, everybody. Isn't it reasonable to try to hold what we worked so long and so hard to build up? Why should we leave when it may not even be necessary? Tell Haman Levy that you'll stay. Tell him you agree with me. You don't agree. Well, even so, I will remain. A few of us will remain.
You must make your own choice, Abraham.
Oh, Gershom, I want you to understand.
No, you don't have to explain.
Generations of wandering are my inheritance, but I want to stay where I am now.
I don't judge you, Abraham.
Gershom, why must you impose another exile on yourself?
If you leave your home because you want to think your own thoughts and say what you think, Abraham, maybe you shouldn't call that exile. It's a strange thing that in the midst of war and revolution, in years of wandering, Gershom Satius's life was still a tranquil one. He went first to Connecticut, where his second child was born. And if he sang, there was no one to hear him, for the New York congregation was scattered. And then he had a visitor.
Abraham.
Gershom.
Oh, Abraham, it's good to see you again.
Oh, you look worn, Gershom.
Oh, well, it's hard for everyone these days. Oh, but tell me about you and the others in New York.
Well, we manage. We've reopened the synagogue. Oh, but Gershom, we miss your voice. We miss you.
And who conducts the services?
I do with my off-key croaking. Heaven help me.
Oh, and tell me about it. Oh, now, look, you've come so far, and I haven't even offered you a bite to eat. Alkali.
No, don't bother. Gershom, you remember my daughter, Rachel?
Why, of course, a pretty girl.
She's going to be married.
Well, congratulations. We must certainly have a glass of wine.
No, thanks, Gershom. I just came to tell you.
That's not all you came for, is it, Abraham? You want me to perform the marriage ceremony?
There's no one else, but I have no right to ask you.
Abraham, whom should you ask if not me? Now, how long will it take us to get to New York?
Oh, it's dangerous, Gershom. The British know about you.
Well, now, shall your Rachel become an old maid because the British know about me?
No, please, I'm serious.
So am I. You came in a wagon, Abraham. Hitch up the horse and we'll start. Drive past the synagogue, Abraham.
No, it's out of the way, Gershom. It'd be better if we went directly to my house.
Yeah, well, I suppose you're right. Do you know, Abraham, you haven't told me who the bridegroom is.
Now, sit still, Gershom. You'll attract attention.
Oh, you worry too much. Is he someone I know?
You'll be recognized. Pull your hat over your eyes.
Abraham, I asked you a question. Do I know him?
Who?
Who? The bridegroom, of course.
Oh, no, you don't know him.
Well, then why didn't you just say so?
Shh. They're coming this way. Oh, good, they didn't stop. Now, Gershom, we're almost there. Now, don't run, but don't waste any time getting into the house. Whoa! We're here.
Well, where is everybody, Abraham? Where's Rachel and the bridegroom?
In there. Now, wait, Gershom. There's something I have to tell you. It's about...
I heard the wagon.
Oh, dear.
Abraham. A soldier of King George.
Well, that's what I wanted to tell you. He's the bridegroom.
You must be Mr. Satius, of whom I've heard so much. My name is Alexander Zuntz of the Hessian Regiment.
He's a good man, Gershom. We've elected him pastor of the congregation, what's left of it.
Oh? Why didn't you tell me, Abraham?
I was afraid you wouldn't come. I know how you... I mean, you're such a patriotic American.
I hope you won't hold this uniform against me, Mr. Satius.
I confess to no liking for the red coat you wear, sir.
Your feeling is understandable.
But it is no part of patriotism to say that everyone who wears it is thereby wicked. My friend Abraham says you're a good man, and I believe him.
Thank you, Mr. Satius.
And if Rachel wants you for a husband, then let us marry you quickly. And may you live happily forever after.
Besimantos. Tavri meranan baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam boreh peri
happily requires, among other things, a sense of proportion, a proper judgment of the more important and the less. Gershom Satius lived in self-imposed exile for 7 years, established homes in 4 places, and suffered hardships in all of them. And yet, if it is possible from a distance of nearly 200 years to establish a balance, it may be said that he was a happy man, even when he grumbled, as he often did in the early days of 1784, when, after the defeat of the British, he returned as Khazan to New York.
Gershom, we discovered only today that Moses Hart and his wife are practically destitute.
Destitute, Haman? And I complain about my salary.
You're entitled to complain. These are bad times. But there are others like Moses Hart. We must raise a new fund to help them. Gershom, everybody respects you. Will you talk to the congregation?
Of course. And here, my contribution.
Well, you don't have to. We already owe you so much.
Well, I can wait. Was there something else you wanted to talk to me about, Amy?
Was there? Oh, yes. Mr. Stevenson came to visit me. He would like to see you.
Stevenson? Of Columbia College? What does he want?
I don't know. Why don't you ask him?
¶¶ I don't know what to say to your request, Mr. Stevenson.
Well, Rabbi Sessions, I would like to hear you say that you will agree to serve on the Board of Trustees of Columbia College.
But I'm a Jew.
Among the trustees are bankers, lawyers, clergymen. They were not chosen for either their profession or their religion.
Still, Columbia is an Anglican college.
King's College was, Mr. Sessions. Columbia College was reopened this year under the sponsorship of the state legislature.
Mr. Stevenson, learning and knowledge are the basis of the Jewish tradition. Yet I have a certain reluctance.
Let me read you from the original charter of the college. Ah, yes. No person of any religious denomination whatever shall be excluded from equal liberty and advantage of education on account of his particular tenets in matters of religion.
Why, it's a liberal statement.
It is the basis of the tradition of learning. The right to knowledge belongs to every man, sir. Well, Mr. Sessions, you haven't answered. Yes or no?
I am unworthy of the honor, Mr. Stevenson.
Why? You're a man of understanding and a teacher. You conduct the school for your congregation, do you not?
Yes, in my own house.
Mr. Sessions, Columbia College will be honored if you will serve as trustee.
Sir, I am honored to serve. Only, in return, you must come to see my school. The pupils have been dismissed for the day, Mr. Stevenson.
Oh, I'm sorry I came too late.
And you find me shelling peas for supper. Will you have some?
Thank you. Oh, these are the school books, hmm? Bible, the Hebrew dictionary, Maimonides, mm-hmm. And these on the shelf?
Oh, they are there for my own instruction, sir.
Montesquieu, James Mill, Goethe. Mr. Sessions, to educate oneself is a considerable achievement.
On the other hand, it is said that a self-educated man has a fool for a teacher. Mr. Stevenson, I have been thinking about what you said yesterday.
About a man's right to knowledge?
Yes. Mr. Stevenson, it's not enough.
But it's all a college can ensure.
Well, I wasn't thinking of the college. Now, suppose a man acquired knowledge, valuable knowledge, that he wanted to use in some way that seemed best. Let us say, by serving in the legislature.
Yes.
Mr. Stevenson, if the man were a Jew, he could not sit in the Pennsylvania legislature, or in the Virginian, or in some of the other states.
Well, that is not how the law is worded.
No, the law simply requires that each member take his oath as a Christian, thereby establishing a religious test for office.
Yes, I cannot disagree with you, Mr. Sessions.
Then the right to knowledge is not enough without the right to use it freely, to think and speak freely, to worship God, or even not to worship.
Mr. Sessions, in a short time, we've come a long way toward freedom. We must be satisfied with slow progress.
No, Mr. Stevenson. As reasonable men, we must accept our limitations. But shall we be satisfied? Is there something halfway between justice and the lack of it? Man's right to knowledge and the free use thereof must always come together.
Gershom Sessions could be satisfied with an inadequate salary, infrequently paid. He did not complain about a house too small for a growing family, or duties so consuming as to leave him little time to read or reflect. But with some things, he refused to be satisfied. In the fall of 1787, the National Convention meeting in Philadelphia arose from its closed sessions and announced its final work, the Constitution of the United States of America.
Article 6, Section 3. No religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States.
Well, are you satisfied now, Mr. Sessions?
If you were better acquainted with him, Mr. Stevenson, you would know that he's a very hard man to please.
Well, I don't know if Haman means that as a compliment, but I'll answer your question, Mr. Stevenson. I think the Constitution is a remarkable document. Perhaps the most remarkable the world has seen.
And I am happy to agree with you, sir.
But there is something missing.
You see, Mr. Stevenson, I warned you.
Well, is there? I've read it carefully.
Mr. Stevenson, have you found anywhere a guarantee of the rights of man?
Well, surely there is no intention to violate human rights.
I did not say that, sir.
I think you are perhaps... I know you will understand this. Perhaps overly sensitive, being one of a minority.
Mr. Jefferson is not a minority.
I know. He holds the same view.
And is not a minority the test of freedom?
I'm not sure I know what you mean.
Well, the Huguenots in France, the Quakers in England, were minorities and were persecuted. Mr. Stevenson, how much freedom did the majority have?
There are safeguards in the Constitution that have the same intention as a Bill of Rights.
Mr. Stevenson, you and I, we know and trust each other's intentions. And perhaps we both trust those whom we have elected to administer the Constitution. But it's not enough.
You are a hard man to please.
No, it's not only I who must be satisfied. Mr. Stevenson, the living create a heritage for the generations that will come. What kind of a heritage shall we leave?
Resolved in Congress, September 25th, 1789. Amendments to the Constitution, Article 1. Congress shall make no laws respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances.
My friends, I can find no better words than those my brother, Moses Satius of Newport, wrote to President Washington. Deprived as we heretofore have been of the invaluable rights of free citizens, we now, with a deep sense of gratitude to the almighty dispenser of all events, behold a government erected by the majesty of the people. A government which to bigotry gives no sanction, to persecution no assistance, but generously affords to all liberty of conscience.
Havalim nafluli banimim afnachelot.
These are the words of the 16th Psalm. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. The old cemetery is still in Chatham Square, and the stones mark the ancient graves.
Here lies buried Gershom Mendes Satius, who was the faithful and sweet singer of our congregation. In the year 1816, he departed this life and returned to his inheritance.
Stone endures. And the heritage endures that once was his and now is ours. If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Dr. David DeSola Poole, rabbi of the Congregation Sherith Israel, the Spanish and Portuguese synagogue in New York City, and a vice president of the American Jewish Historical Society. Dr. Poole.
In a little corner of old New York, there is an historic graveyard where lies the dust of many Jewish pioneers and revolutionary patriots. Among its tombstones, going back for nearly 300 years, there stands a striking pyramid bearing the name of Gershom Mendes Satius. Throughout his life, his faith never faltered. We have just heard how for 8 years he chose exile during the revolution rather than submit to British rule. For over 4 decades, he was the religious leader of Sherith Israel, at that time New York's only synagogue. It was said of him that his aspect was so benign and his manner so courteous that those with whom he conversed could not but feel themselves in the presence of a friend. It was this benevolence which made him the moving spirit in the creation of the Hebra, a still existing organization for giving loving last rites and free burial to the poor. It was this benevolence which induced him to organize a relief society during the devastating yellow fever epidemic of 1788. He stayed at his post while all who could escape had fled the city. He was a true citizen. As a trustee of the Humane Society, a member of the first Board of Regents of New York, an incorporator of Columbia College, and trustee of that college for over 30 years, he served far beyond the limits of his own congregation. He gave unfaltering love to this land of his birth. At all times, to recall his own words, he felt called upon to return thanks to benign goodness in placing us in such a country where we are free to act according to the dictates of conscience and where no exception is taken from following the principles of our religion. As one of his successors in the pulpit which he honored, I too return thanks to God in the same spirit. Today, as Congregation Charity Israel enters its 300th year, we may all pay reverent homage to New York's Jewish religious leader of revolutionary days, Gershom Mendes Satius.
Thank you, Dr. Poole. Our eternal light drama today, Sweet Singer, was written by Joseph Mendel and featured Robert Carroll as Satius, Paul McGrath as Dr. Stevenson, Edgar Staley as Abraham, Roger DeCoven as Hyman, Louis Van Ruten as the Parnass, and Norman Rose as the narrator. Cantor Robert Siegel was the soloist and sang the liturgical introduction. The music was composed and conducted by Morris Mamorski. This has been an NBC Radio Network production under the direction of Edward King. This is Mel Brand speaking. Free time to present the Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.